Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen.
Let's say, yes, Lord. Yeah, I say this a lot, but I believe it to be true. That is the right answer to anything the Lord asks of you. So just have that answer ready. As soon as God starts answering a question, asking a question, just yes, Lord. You say, well, what if I don't know what the question is? It doesn't matter. If he's asking you to do it, do it. It's always going to lead to your blessing. It may cost you a little bit, okay, but don't be stingy. I actually saw, when Janice was preaching the offering message, I actually saw some people literally sucking face with the spirit of poverty. That's a nasty thought, isn't it? Isn't that a nasty thought? Well, that's what happens when you withhold your tithe. You're not loving Jesus, because if you love God, you're obedient to God, right? Right? That's a hard word. That's a hard word, but you need to hear it. Jesus never withheld the hard word, especially from the religious people. You know? And so, yeah. A couple things, guys. You want to come out tonight? I'm telling you, if you don't have a ride, please talk to one of the other guys. We have lots of people coming down. And, yeah, we're going to have four kinds of meat going on. We have hot sausage. We have sweet sausage. We have kielbasa. We have, like, these big beef hot dogs. And they're going to be cooked on the big green egg at about 550 degrees. They're going to have just the right amount. Sorry. All right. I'll let that one go. All right. See, I can grow. I can. Yeah. I don't think I told you this last week. Did you hear that there's a study? Look, I turned 57 a couple days ago. 57 years old. I was like, yeah, come on. It struck me. I don't know if this was a word from darkness or what, but like, 57, that's 5 years away from Social Security if I wanted to. It's like, what? I don't feel that way at all. I feel young. Come on, I'm 57 years young. Come on, somebody. Yeah. But, you know, as we get older, certain things become more challenging. You know, exercising can be more challenging. Eating right can be, you know. But actually, there was a study done that showed that there are many women after childbearing years that put on a couple extra pounds. And the study actually showed that they were actually healthier and that they were far better off with those few extra pounds. There was another study done of husbands who reminded their wives that they gained those few extra pounds and they didn't live near as long. Did you men hear that? Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. All right, so I want to attempt to share a concept with you that I'm still kind of chewing on, but it's pretty fresh, and I want to give you fresh meat, right? So I want to look at Moses and the one who followed him, Joshua, right? And I want to contrast that with John the Baptist and the one that followed him. What's his name? Jesus. Yeah. Followed not in the sense that he was being led by John the Baptist, but he was his older cousin. So I want you to kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Open up your Bibles to John 1:6. We're going to look at that scripture in just a few seconds. Now, let's talk about Moses. Everyone say Moses. Moses and the people of Israel were in bondage. Everyone say bondage. In where? Where? Egypt, right. Now, you have to understand, anytime you see Egypt in the Word of God, it's referring to, it's synonymous with the thinking of the world, the prevalent world system, okay? How many of you know our world system has problems right now? Listen, when I opened up my iPad to open up to my message, a message popped up. There was just another shooting last night in Philadelphia. Three people are dead and almost a dozen people wounded. Another shooting. Now I know what some would say. Some would say it's about too many guns. Other people would say it's about not enough guns. This isn't about guns. This is about evil that's occupying people's minds. And evil doesn't play favorites with regard to skin color. There are evil people with white skin. There are evil people with dark skin. And may I say to you, all it takes to be evil is to simply not have your eyes on God. Okay? So the world system right now, you agree the world has some issues. I don't believe there's any more darkness right now than there was 1,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. I believe when you have the kingdom of darkness that has any place on the earth is too much. Are you with me? So Egypt represents the ways and thinking of the world, very different from the ways and thinking of God. You all agree with that, right? God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? Unless we're thinking with him and he's giving us his ways, right? Now, would you agree you're not meant to be in bondage in a foreign land or serving foreign gods? You would agree with that, right? Yes or no? Yes, you agree with that. Okay, good. I agree also. Now, it is God's intention to move the people of God out of bondage and into his intention or his promises. How many of you know his promises are his intention for you? Now, just because God intends something does not mean that you will receive it. Just because, all right, here's where we are, here's what God intends. Just because God intends something does not mean you will receive it. The difference, whether you receive it or not, is what Janice talked about a little while ago, and I'm not talking about tithing, I'm talking about the difference is you. You make the difference. You say, well, I don't have the power to bring about those changes. Well, no, I didn't say you did, but the difference is you. Look, when I walk into my house and I flip on the light switch, that isn't my power that made the lights come on, but I flipped the switch. I was the one that determined whether the power that was coming to my house would flow through my house. And I have my hand on the switch. No, see, like, I don't know that, like, because we get mad at God because things aren't happening the way I want to see things happen in my life. Or I blame my parents because they treated me wrong or they abused me. Or I'm mad at my spouse or my workplace or the government or... Look, pick your poison, because that's all poison. When you blame someone else, it's like drinking poison. You understand? Because it prevents you from doing what you can do. You have your hand on the light switch. Now look, if you are, like, if your hands are up like this and you're saying, oh, God, turn the lights on, God, turn the lights on, he's put the power to your house. It's up to you to put your hand on the switch and flip the switch. It is up to you. It is, God wants the lights on in your house, if you will. He wants you to get to the promised land, Are you with me so far? But it's all in your hands. It is in, here's what Jesus said. When he was unfolding the kingdom in front of the earth, Jesus was, he went up to the mountainside, a bunch of people gathered, and he's going to inaugurate the kingdom of God. He's gonna initiate it, just like our founding fathers did. They gathered together, they put together a document called the Declaration of Independence. And they released that Declaration of Independence. Now look, that was saying that we want to form a nation, right? But without the Constitution of how this thing will work, the Declaration of Independence is worthless. God showed us our kingdom declaration. It's found in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus goes and shows what the kingdom will look like in operation. He shows God's intention. But then, that's in Matthew 5. But then in 6 and 7, the rest of 5, 6, and 7, he shows the constitution of the kingdom, or how this is going to work. It can't work outside of this. This is what you got to do. And in the middle of that is the most powerful statement in all of the constitution of the kingdom of God. He says this. He said, but you must, for this to work, for you to get the kingdom of God, Matthew 6, 33, he said this, but you must seek the kingdom of God, and you must seek his righteousness, or said another way, the condition that you're to be in, and then all these things shall follow. Notice it didn't say that God would do these things regardless of what you do. It says that if you seek the kingdom and if you seek his, y'all listening to me, his righteousness for you. If you seek that, the word seek means to pursue with all of your heart, in first position, in first of effort, in first of priority, in first of your time. That if you're pursuing the kingdom above all other things, pursuing the kingdom more than you're pursuing that lovely young lady, or pursuing the kingdom more than you're pursuing wealth, or pursuing the kingdom more than you're pursuing to protect yourself from others. Pursuing the kingdom more than you're pursuing healing. Pursuing the kingdom more than you're pursuing an identity. How many of you know, if you pursue the kingdom and his righteousness, your identity will become right. If you're pursuing the kingdom and his righteousness, then look, God will give you that lovely young lady, maybe not that one, but the one he really has for you. Because what you have your eye on may not be what God has his eye on. But here's the promise, that God, his eye's way better than yours. Because he sees not just on the outside, but he sees on the inside. Now, he wants the outside to be good too. Come on, somebody. I'm speaking to my sons right now. All right? And daughters who are unmarried. All right? Yeah, I'm not going to go there. Okay. All right. I just showed wisdom again. Dang. Come on. All right. Now, God wants us to pursue the kingdom and his righteousness. He doesn't want us in bondage. The United States was going into a place of bondage. England was taking more and more, exerting more and more dominance over the states, right? Darkness was exerting more and more dominance over the earth, and Jesus said, okay, the time to reinsert the kingdom of God is now. Everyone say now. Now. The time of God, the most perfect timing of God is now. The time for you to seek the kingdom is now. Not next week. Not yesterday. The best time is now. The only time that you can seek the kingdom is now. So Jesus releases the kingdom of God. He inaugurates it onto the earth. In the middle of that is this most beautiful statement. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is our Lord. This is our elder brother, the one who has gone before us, the one who shows us the way. It is his spirit that is with us continually to guide us in the kingdom of God. Now, so the declaration shows what is to come, and the Constitution shows how we get there. Are you with me? It is crucially important not just to see where we're headed, but understand how we get there, because the journey is the most important thing. Are you with me? I'm going to try to tie all this together. Moses and the people of Israel are in bondage. God shows them, he wants them not to just be out of bondage, but to be walking in his promises. Physically, Moses had to get the people out of Egypt, cross through the Red Sea, cross the desert, and then get to the Jordan, just for the promises to begin. They hadn't even got to the promises yet. For us, being born again is not crossing the Jordan. It's getting us to the Jordan. We can't step into our promises until we cross the Jordan. Are you with me? Yes? Moses and... how many of you know that as brilliant as Moses was, as amazing a leader as he was, he got stuck and never made it to the promises? There's one reason. He allowed the people to become afraid of the giants. He did not allow he did not position the people. He did not require the people to see the giants as conquerable. Wait, I'm starting to lose some of you right now. Because I'm telling you, every time I preach about giants, people start to gloss over. They start to get sleepy. They start to don't touch that. Some of you are yawning right now. I mean, it's what happens. Why? Because the enemy understands. If you see yourself as one who is capable to deal with giants, you become unstoppable. As long as giants have the ability to victimize you, you will never cross into your promises. Can the giants keep you on this side of the Jordan? That's really the question for you. And there's only one in this universe that can determine that, and that is not Satan. That is not his minion. That is not angels. That is not God himself. That is not your spouse. That is not your employer. That is not your children. That is not the president. That is not the makers of law. There's only one that can determine whether the giants can keep you on this side of the Jordan, and that is you. If you're not willing to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, you will stay on this side. Now listen, it's not so bad on this side. It really isn't that bad. I mean, after all, there's quail that's fallen out of the sky, and there's manna. You got miracles. You're going to heaven. But listen to me. Our job is not to get people to heaven. Our job is to get heaven here on the earth. Like, I'm telling you, I love the fact that people preach and they preach salvation messages. Listen, that's just the beginning.
When we do not encourage people to cross over the Jordan and step into their promises, then they're never going to... There came a man from God, John 1:6, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was a true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. There's a light that comes that enlightens every man. Did I say there comes a light that enlightens every man? He was in the world. The world was made through him. And the world did not know him. That word know means didn't know. They're not saying they didn't know about him. Of course the world knew about him. He was the most famous person on the scene in Jerusalem at that time. He was the preacher. He was the one that thousands and thousands were running out into the hills and hearing him preach. Are you with me? They knew all about him. It doesn't mean they didn't know of him. It means they weren't intimate with him. His disciples were intimate with him. The Pharisees knew of him. The disciples knew him. Are you with me? He came into his own, and those who were his own, they did not receive him, meaning Israel didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. Everyone say the right. It is your right to become a child of God. Every person outside of these doors, it is their right. I think people sometimes, they struggle because they don't know their rights. They had the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of God, nor of the will of men, but of God. Now, so John came to prepare the way. At one of the most brilliant moments of John's ministry, where was he standing? Where? Where? In what water? Where was he standing? John is standing in the middle of the Jordan. What did Moses not cross? Jordan. What excuse did Moses have? He was following the cloud. There wasn't a battle that they didn't win up until that point. There was only one thing that stopped Moses from crossing over. He allowed the people to be afraid of the giants. They said this. They said, "We see ourselves as grasshoppers next to these giants." He's their leader. How could he allow that statement to stand? You're not a grasshopper. You're a giant killer. That's who God made you to be. Depression, you can kill. Sickness, you can trample. Poverty, you can put your foot on the neck of that thing and cut its head off. But you can't be afraid of it. If you're afraid of the giant, it will rule over you. You must fear the Lord, not your giants. They who fear the Lord, they'll what? They'll fly with wings of eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and never faint. But you fear your giant, you'll stay on this side of the Jordan and you'll never step into your promises. Your promises are so much greater than what you even can fathom at this moment. Jesus promised that the things that would happen are far beyond what you can ask for or even imagine. You've imagined some great things in your life, but there are giants that are stopping you from getting those things. If you don't deal with the giants in your life, and listen, the giants of your past may not be the giants of your future. The giants that Israel faced later were not the giants they faced before. Are you with me? John's standing in the river. The river
represents your crossing point. Now, Moses leads the people. And I'm thankful for Moses. I'm thankful for the Billy Grahams, the people that got people to the river. I appreciate evangelists. They get people to the river. But listen, we can't just stop with evangelism. It doesn't finish the work. It just begins it. So Moses got the people to the river, but there was another one who would come that would take the people through the river and to the other side. Now, you say, well, let me ask you something. Brian, why was the kingdom inaugurated thousands of years later with Jesus and John and not with Moses and Joshua? It's the same thing, right? It's the people of God coming down to the river. Here's John with Jesus at the river, right? Are you with me? Why didn't it occur then? And I asked the Holy Spirit that. I said, why didn't it occur back then? What was different? Let me ask you something. When they carried the ark down into the river, when Joshua and the priests and the people of God carried the ark down into the river, what happened? They put their foot toward the river, and what happened? Now, we like that miracle, don't we? We like that the river, I like signs and wonders, ooh. I like the ooey gooey, like the ha! Yeah, we like all that, right? But the problem is they crossed the river how? On dry ground. Who did greater miracles? Joshua? Oh, by the way, Joshua's name is the Hebrew version of Jesus. So when the real Jesus comes, let me ask you something. When he stepped into the river, did the river part? Huh. Now you would think if it was God's intention for the river to part, that you would think that when Jesus came down to the river, that when he put his foot in the river, that it would have parted, right? Wouldn't that make sense? I mean, if it was the greater thing. I'm not saying God didn't intend for when Joshua crossed for it to be dry land, but it wasn't time for the kingdom to be released. Not like this. But when Jesus came down, John's standing in the river, and he looks up, and here comes Jesus, and he says, what? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is walking down the path, and he comes, and he gets in the river. The river doesn't part, does it? Because why? Jesus is not in opposition to the river. Why? Because he's Lord of the river. He comes down in the river, he's baptized, and then what happens? Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove and sits on him. You don't see Holy Spirit come when Joshua takes the people through the river. Your journey doesn't begin with crossing through the river and not getting wet. Fast forward to the end of the book of Revelation. And it says, behold, the throne of God. And out from under the throne of God comes the river of God. From the throne of God comes the river of God. If you look in Ezekiel, I believe it's Ezekiel, it talks about how the prophet saw a vision and a man was walking into the river of God and the water was up to his ankles, then it was up to his thighs, then it was up to his chest, and then it said he was fully immersed. It's the progression of the people of God into the fullness of God. It's the progression of the people of God into the fullness of the kingdom of God. God is intending for us to fully walk in the kingdom of God so we can fully bring heaven to earth. It's his intention. It's his desire. Our purpose is not to get people to heaven. Our purpose is to get heaven here to the earth. It's a whole lot easier to get people to see the kingdom if it's all around them. We have a responsibility to display the kingdom of God before all men. If we're not displaying the kingdom of God, then how can they see it? Why do you think Jesus did signs and wonders? Because he was displaying the kingdom of God. I told you it's here. I told you it's at hand. I told you, I inaugurated it. I declared it, and I showed you how it works. And I'm showing you how this thing works. And you're my brothers and sisters, and you're to do it just like me. No, actually, you're going to do it better than I do it. Why? Because of the increase of my government here on the earth, there will be no end. And the more government I have on the earth, the more capable you will be of walking in the kingdom. You'll do signs and wonders even that Jesus didn't do. Oh, I know. Go ahead, stone me for that. But those are his words, not mine. He said you would do greater works than what he did. That's his words, not mine. Yeah, I know. They want to stone him too. So you got Moses that leads the people of Israel down to the water. Joshua takes them through on dry land. They didn't get wet. They didn't get touched by the river of God. They couldn't because the kingdom wasn't released yet. They did move into natural promises. But here's what I have to tell you. You can come to the Jordan. You can be born again. But that doesn't mean you enter into the promises of God. It means you can simply see the promises of God. You can stand on the other side of the shores of the Jordan and still see the land of promise. Moses did, but he never entered in. John the Baptist's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It gets you to the river. It's the entrance into the land of promise. But Jesus takes you into the river and releases the kingdom in you and brings heaven to earth so that you carry the river with you. Yes. Look at the progression. That's all right. He's just getting Holy Ghost right now. That's all right. He's getting it. Don't let somebody else getting what Holy Spirit is getting dissuade you from receiving what Holy Spirit wants to give you. Are you with me? Yeah. Moses gets the people to the river. They cross the river and into natural promises. But how many of you know those natural promises ended? Naturally, the kingdom ended. The kingdom of Israel ended. Are you with me? So that's not good enough. That's not what God intended fully. It was a part of it. It was a shadow of something to come. But it was just to give you a glimpse of what you could have. John brings people to the Jordan. They're coming down to the Jordan, right? He gets them to the Jordan. And he's actually baptizing people in the Jordan, but the problem is they're getting up from the Jordan and they're walking out, but they're not carrying the river with them. Jesus said, from your belly flows a river of living water. He stood at that well and he said to this woman, he says, if you ask me for a drink, I'll give you water and you'll never be thirsty again. Why? Because the river is flowing from you. You're carriers of the kingdom of God. You're walking rivers of God. You don't have to ever be dry. The only reason you get dry is because you forget who you are. You didn't follow John the Baptist. You follow Jesus. Come on, somebody. You aren't of Moses, you're of Jesus. Come on, somebody.
You're carrying the kingdom of God with you everywhere you go. You just got to remember that. God's intention was never just to get you to the river. Really, his intention was never to get you to cross the river. His desire is for you to carry the river and let it flow from you. Stand up as we close. Shoo. That's a good word right there. Flow, river, flow. Come. You know, it's been prophesied many times by completely independent parties that never heard the other speak. People would come into this room. And listen, this is when we had the sanctuary turned and the stage was over there. And the rows were lined up like this, and we were all facing that way. And people would come, and they would say, I see a river flowing out of this room. And they would point up here. Now, there was no up here because there was no stage up here at that time. Matter of fact, there was a nursery back here and a stairwell right here. But they would point over here, and they would say, I see a river flowing. And it's flowing down through here. And then when we turned to sanctuary, other people would come and they would prophesy the same thing, that there was a river, a mighty gushing river flowing. The only way that you can carry the river of God is if you stay in the river. From the throne, listen, from the place of rule, from the place where God is being that Father who rules against everything that comes against you. From that place flows the river of living water. God never told you, just like he never told you to take your armor off. Like, why are you putting your armor on every morning? You shouldn't have taken it off. You say, well, dude, I don't sleep well with armor on. Well, that's because you don't have the armor of God. You've been trying to shield yourself with yourself. If you put on his armor, you can sleep with it. Come on, somebody. It's high tech. It's like those beds that, like, move to fit your body, you know? That like, have that cooling effect underneath, right? Right? Yeah. Janice is up here lobbying me for one of those beds. But just like the armor of God, don't take it off. Why leave the river? You say, well, how can I be two places at once? Body, soul, spirit. All right? My body can be at one place while my spirit's another. I'm in the river of God. I'm right there as it's gushing. Come on, really, what is the river? Come on. It's not water molecules. What is it that's gushing from the throne of God? Can I give you a clue? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. The Word is the living water. He's with you. He's gushing from you if you'll just let him. But we've got to be in that place at the throne of God, letting God rule over us. As he rules over us, as we walk out this journey with him, then he gushes from us.
Show us. Yep, yep, yep. Yep. Okay, I got it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, so I'm going to stand right here. And I just believe there needs to be an agreement in this realm to what is happening in that realm. I believe that it's important to respond here to what is going on there. And so the way we're going to do this is I just want to lay hands and release the river of God, you to walk continually in the river of God. And I believe that needs imparted to you. And so what I want you to do, if you want that, otherwise you're dismissed to go, but if you want that, just come and line up here, and I'm going to lay hands on you and ushers. If Holy Spirit does anything where they fall out or whatever, just drag them over this way out of the way for, yeah, yeah. I want my wife up here with me, because with the ladies, I'm going to lay hands right on your belly. Go ahead, lay hands.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church Podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.